If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Please be seated. In 1986, the magician David Copperfield walked through the Great Wall of China. It was a network TV special. Does anybody remember these? It was long before the age of AI. What happened was David, the magician, is standing in front of the Great Wall of China. They lift up a screen that is backlit. And so now you just see the silhouettes of big 80s hair and jazz hands. And then all of a sudden he's gone. And then the camera pans over to the other side of the wall. And out of nowhere, a silhouette emerges. You get a whole lot of this. And then the screen comes down and an exhausted David Copperfield has made it through. Seemingly something impossible has taken place. Now, I don't know, we didn't really believe it. We all know that a magician, when they're doing their thing, they're playing a trick. But we love it when it looks good, and we want to give our belief to it. Though to tell you a secret, 11-year-old me thought it was kind of dopey. But still, how did he pull it off? Did Copperfield somehow shift his cellular biology so that he could move through the ancient stone wall? Well, probably not. Or was it just a trick of the camera, a trick of the eye? Well, I'm sure it was. The real question for today, though, given what happens in the gospel, is how does Jesus manage pretty much the same trick when he appears to the disciples in the locked room? The disciples were there in a locked room because they were afraid. The problem with a locked door, though, is that things behind it become stagnant quite quickly. The problem with a locked door is that we can begin to fall for the idea that the whole world or all the parts that matter are right there in the room with us and forget about everything that's happening on the other side of the door. The problem with a locked door is that nothing changes and nothing grows, because really you have to go out there into the world to really experience the fullness of what the life of the Spirit has to offer. But it turns out that a locked door is no match for Jesus. In fact, he doesn't seem to register that there's a locked door or even a door there at all. He just appears on the inside of it as if it's the most normal thing in the world. All of a sudden, he's right there. Peace be with you. And they're like, whoa. In the collect for today, the second Sunday of Easter, we note that in the Paschal mystery, the death and resurrection of Jesus, God has established a new covenant of reconciliation. I'll get to that word reconciliation in just a moment and what it means and what it has to do with walking through walls. But for the first thing I want to note is how this new covenant in this new spiritual reality, I notice that things that were impossible before simply are not anymore. In fact, Jesus seems to delight in disrupting our very sense of what is possible and what is not, what is immovable and what is not, what can be transcended and what cannot, starting with the very walls of the safe house. I would like to suggest that Jesus was not simply showing up to greet the disciples as the now resurrected Lord, or even showing up just to get the movement going again, but rather, I think he was there to teach the disciples how to walk through walls. So how did he do it? And how do we do it? How do we reestablish our relationship with what is possible and what is not, with what stands in our way and what does not, with the walls that separate us one from another and us from God, and what was really never there to begin with? It actually starts with following Jesus and really doing the things that he calls us to. It starts with walking the walk. The collect continues, grant to those reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body that those reborn may also show forth with their lives what they profess by their faith. Walking through walls starts with walking the walk. In order to do the impossible, be that breaking down barriers or healing the sick, we as followers must live according to the teachings of Jesus. I mean, we have to really live it. Do we forgive? Do we serve the poor? Or do we simply pray loudly about it? Do we forgive, letting God heal our wounds? Or do we hold on to those resentments until they turn us bitter? Do we preach peace, or do we love war just a little too much? Some folks are getting a little confused on that last one, I think. This week, our Secretary of War referred to a downed airman as a manifestation of Jesus, shot down on Good Friday, hiding in a cave through Saturday until his rescue on Easter Sunday. Now, as a preacher who is always looking for a good metaphor, I want to offer my compliments, but I can't seem to bring myself to that. Thank you, Eric. But I can't quite bring myself to that, given the war that has played out over the past few weeks, where we have expressed enthusiastic disregard for what is a war crime and what is not, and threatened annihilation in order to stabilize gas prices. I just can't see our bombing campaign as a reflection of the Paschal mystery, as grateful as I am that the airman was rescued safely. In a prayer service before that, he prayed, "Let every round find its mark against the enemies of righteousness and our great nation." He continued, "Give them wisdom in every decision, endurance for the trial ahead, overwhelming violence of action against those who deserve no mercy." Does this rationing of mercy extend to bridges, power plants, and the desalination plants that deliver water in the desert? Who gets to decide who deserves mercy and who does not? This is not walking the walk. This is not following the way of Jesus, no matter what words are used. Yes, we should hold all combatants in prayer. We pray for their safety. We pray for their safe return. But we must also walk the walk. Anybody can break down walls. Jesus teaches us to walk through them. We are called to show forth in our lives what we profess with our faith. The Christian call is not to dominate, but to reconcile, to dissolve the barriers of enmity and fear, not to play them up to create advantage or leverage. Jesus has given us a new covenant of reconciliation, not a rationale for dominion. That means if we're going to knock down walls, we need to really think about who's behind them, whose child is going to get crushed, whose life is going to be destroyed in a haze of fire and concrete. Jesus doesn't knock down walls. He simply moves through them. And when he does, when he appears quite suddenly there with the disciples, what is the first thing he says? Peace. Peace be with you. And if they were Episcopalians, they would reply, and also with you. But that doesn't happen for a few centuries. When he is there, he gives them something. He gives them the Holy Spirit. And then he says something that to me is curious and almost a non sequitur. I don't know where it was coming from, except I think it has something to do with how we walk through walls, or maybe what prevents us from moving through those barriers in the first place. He says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. If you retain the sins of others, they are retained. These are the burdens. These are the grudges. These are the resentments. These are all the things that we carry on our shoulder that keep us from moving in a porous way through the world, because they're like anchors. They keep us stuck. They keep us being able to move about the world. If we want to think about doing the impossible, if we want to think about following Jesus in this new covenant of reconciliation, if we want to step past walls that never existed in the first place, we might think first about our retention policy. We might think first about what we are choosing to hold on to, each and every one of us. What are we hanging on to that keeps us locked away in that small room? Be that anger or ego or the need to dominate or bitterness or contempt or resentment or fear or tribalism. Each and every one of those are available justifications for violence or manipulation or power grabs or all those things that keep us stuck and in constant conflict with one another. These are things that in large and small ways we all struggle with. They are the sins that we retain. And when we do, the walls that separate us from God, the walls that separate the possible from the impossible, become thick and impermeable. Jesus has called us to a greater life. Jesus has called us to the holy work of reconciliation. This is the work of peace. This is the work of restoring the human family rather than seeking gain or advantage at the expense of others. It is the work of dissolving the barriers of hatred and ego that break bodies and destroy nations. This is the call to move through those walls that never really existed in the first place. Amen.